Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. In previous lessons on church discipline, I have pointed out that our English word discipline means that training which corrects, molds, strengthens, and perfects. Thayer defines the Greek word paideia as the whole training and education of children. Many people probably think of church discipline as always involving withdrawing from the ungodly, but these definitions indicate otherwise. The church certainly must withdraw when nothing else will work, but instructive discipline must precede correction and punishment. In other words, the church should seek through teaching, encouraging, counseling, persuading, and warning to prevent men's going astray. Our lesson today will stress the instructive aspect of church discipline. The God-ordained leaders or rulers in the church of Jesus Christ are the elders. Paul and Barnabas ordained elders in every church, Acts 14:23. Please note that they appointed elders in every church, not in every city, or in every province, or in every country. Elders are appointed in every church, and they lead or rule in only one church. The New Testament church does not have any organization larger than the local congregation. Paul left Titus in Crete for the purpose of organizing the churches. He was to appoint elders in every city, as Paul had ordered, Titus 1:5. This verse must not be interpreted to mean that elders had charge of more than one congregation. Where a city had more than one church, elders were to be appointed in every church. There are many good reasons for this arrangement, but I shall not take the time this morning to enumerate them. The elders had the primary responsibility of disciplining the church. As parents are the chief disciplinarians in the home, so the elders are over the church and are responsible for the souls of church members. Paul encouraged the Thessalonian Christians to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. The work of elders is time-consuming, exhausting, but so very vital to the strength and growth of the kingdom of God. It is work, and not just an honor to be an elder. This is a true saying, "If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." 1 Timothy 3:1. Elders are over us in the sense that they are the leaders or rulers of the church. They are not lords over God's heritage, 1 Peter 5:3, but they do rule and lead the flock of God. The Hebrew writer commanded his readers to remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of life, whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation. Hebrews 13:7. The tense of the verb remember suggests that the members keep on remembering their rulers. They were also to keep on imitating or mimicking the example of their godly elders. While elders teach in a number of ways, by their own personal admonition and instruction, through their preachers and other teachers, the most impressive teaching of an elder or any other leader is his personal example. The Hebrews writer wanted the people to whom he wrote to consider, that is, to keep on observing accurately the behavior of their leaders. As the elders followed their Lord, the members were to keep on watching them and to keep on following them. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Peter spoke of the elders as being examples to the flock. 1 Peter 5:3. My elder friends, these responsibilities are awesome. If the members of the church where you serve are to imitate your faith, that faith should be worthy of imitation. Do you elders insist that the members attend services regularly, read their Bibles, be active in every phase of the Lord's work. Are you dedicated to His service? Paul asked the Roman Christians, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God?" Romans 2:21-23. These questions are particularly appropriate for elders in the Lord's church. Do you ask others to make sacrifices that you are unwilling to make? Do you live the gospel you're committed to teaching to others? Please listen carefully to this admonition to Christians in every age. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Hebrews 13:17. The word obey is a present active imperative and requires that we keep on obeying. The word submit has basically the same meaning. Keep on submitting, or yielding under, or giving up. Both words enforce the responsibility of members to honor and respect elders of the church by recognizing their leadership and not rebelling against them. A spirit of rebellion sometimes arises in the church as well as in other segments of society. Church members decide that they have no responsibility toward the elders. They even talk about the elders behind their backs, and in so doing, undermine the authority which God Himself gave to the elders. If elders are not being faithful in their work, there are scriptural ways of removing them from their offices. But so long as they serve as elders, we are obligated to obey their directives. If they are good elders, they watch for our souls as they that must give an account. My friend, that just simply means that God will call on elders to account for every member of the body of Christ. In the final judgment, the Lord will want to know why the sheep were not fed, and why some sheep were allowed to wander away without anyone seeking them. The prophet Ezekiel severely criticized the shepherds in Israel for failure to care for God's sheep. The principles which are found in these words from Ezekiel should be very helpful and challenging to the elders. "The word of the Lord came unto me, Son of man, prophesy against the elders of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, Thus saith the Lord God, Ho, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there were no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and put a stop to their feeding of the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10. If elders of the church or leaders in other areas can read this great passage without seeking God's guidance in their leadership roles, they should step down and allow others to rule in the affairs of men. In contrast to the indifference which characterized the shepherds of which Ezekiel spoke, dedicated elders are going to watch constantly for the souls of the sheep. The Greek word for watch is agrupneo. This word comes from two Greek words, agreo, to search, hypnos, sleep. Hence, to seek after sleep, to be sleepless, to be watchful. Jesus used the same word in his instructions to his disciples regarding the end of the age. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Mark 13, 33 through 37. The New Testament clearly outlines the duties of the elders of the church. I want to discuss these duties as fully as time will allow. First, elders are to take heed to themselves. Acts 20, 28. That may not seem to some to be that important, but its significance can hardly be overemphasized. The expression take heed literally means to hold your mind or examine your mind and life. I've already pointed out the need for elders to be examples to the flock. 1 Peter 5:3. If the elders are not pure in thought and in deed, how can they expect godly living from members of the body of Christ? Elders need to follow the advice that Paul instructed Timothy and Titus to give young men. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Titus 2, 7 and 8. If an elder of the church does not take heed to himself, he has no right to take heed unto others. The qualities which an elder must have before he becomes an elder and which he must constantly cultivate are outlined in 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 7. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, skilled at teaching, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Second, elders are to take heed to the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made them overseers. Acts 20, 28. Elders must constantly hold their minds on the flock. We should have no difficulty understanding Paul's inspired advice when we realize the constant battle which all human beings face. Peter reminds us that the devil constantly goes about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Elders should know, both by experience and by reading God's word, that the Spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. Human beings can be tempted and led into sin. If elders know this, and they should, they will be continually watching for the souls of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Elders should not be interested in just feeding themselves, but they should be deeply concerned about feeding the flock. Third, both Paul and Peter commanded elders to feed the flock. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Acts 20:28. Peter's statements are very similar to those that I have just read. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." 1 Peter 5:2. The Greek word translated "feed" in these passages is poimeno, which means to shepherd. Shepherding has a much broader application than feeding. Shepherding includes so much more than merely leading into green pastures. It means protecting, guiding, watching. The verb is present active imperative and shows that elders should keep on feeding the flock. Paul gave a very good reason why the elders should keep on taking heed and feeding the flock. "For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in among the flock, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Acts 20:29-30. If elders are not constantly watching and feeding, great numbers will be led into grievous error and be lost. Paul gives two sources of false teachings and teachers: wolves from the outside and unfaithful sheep from the inside. Everyone who has studied this matter very carefully can give dozens, even hundreds, of examples of both kinds of deceptive, destructive leaders. Modernists, liberals, neo-orthodoxists, cultists, and hundreds of others have sought to deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. 2 Peter 2:2. Even within the church of the living God, there have been preachers and teachers who have become sectarian and divisive and have drawn away disciples after them. With the ever-present possibility of men's being led astray, the elders should keep on shepherding the flock of God. After Paul had warned about false teachers from without and within the church, he instructed the Ephesian elders, "Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you, night and day, with tears." Acts 20:31. Many preachers, including some among the churches of Christ, think that warning about false teachers should not be done in modern times. In fact, the only ones about whom warning should be given are the ones who seek to warn others of error. Some leaders claim to be very broad-minded and tolerant until they hear someone who adheres very firmly to the teachings of God's Word. Then those broad-minded theologians become very narrow-minded and angry. In their view, there are no absolutes, except that one, that there are no absolutes. In order for elders of the church to be prepared for the error which challenges the truth of the gospel, they must be diligent students of the Word and stay in contact through prayer with their Heavenly Father. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Acts 20:32. What Paul said to the Ephesian elders is quite simple, but very fundamental. If you want to be prepared for every false doctrine that the devil has ever invented, then you must study the Word of Almighty God. You must be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. The Apostle Peter referred to himself as an elder of the church and then admonished other elders. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. 1 Peter 5, 1-3. These words indicate that an elder should desire the office of a bishop, and not take the office because of pressure from his fellow Christians, or because he might have an opportunity for making money, or he might be able to exercise authority over his fellow men. His motives should be honorable. He should want to see the kingdom of heaven increase in numbers and in influence. He must live an exemplary life before his fellows, both those who are in the church and those who are without. But, my friends, I may have confused you by using interchangeably the words elder and bishop. Does the Bible teach that bishops and elders occupy the same office? The New Testament primarily uses three Greek words to describe the office I have been discussing with you today. These Greek words are presbyteros, episkopos, and poimen. In the King James Version, presbyteros is always translated elder, but it could be transliterated presbyter. The King James never does that, but it does transliterate another noun form by the word presbytery. 1 Timothy 4:14. The word elder or presbyter indicates that an elder of the church is to be an older man, a man with wisdom gained by experience. Paul forbade a novice or neophyte from becoming an elder. He feared that a new Christian who has been honored in such a manner might be lifted up with pride and fall into condemnation of the devil. 1 Timothy 3:6. An older man would have had the opportunity of demonstrating through his family's faithfulness and otherwise that he has qualified himself to serve as an elder of the church. 1 Timothy 3:4 and 5. The word episkopos may be translated overseer, and is in Acts 20:28. However, the word is usually transliterated bishop. The word in Greek suggests the responsibility of an elder to oversee, to superintend. The verb form of the word suggests visiting with a view to aiding. James used the verb form when he commanded Christians to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. Poimen is the New Testament word for shepherd and is also translated pastor. Ephesians 4:11. That the word poimen refers to elders and not to preachers can be clearly seen in 1 Peter 5. Elders were instructed to feed or shepherd the flock. Then Peter said, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." 1 Peter 5:4. Peter's language shows that elders of the church are under shepherds, and Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. But do all these words, shepherd, pastor, elder, presbyter, bishop, and overseer, refer to the same office? I have shown that elder and shepherd are used interchangeably. 1 Peter 5. Now please listen to Acts 20:17 and verse 28. Paul visited the Ephesian elders, Acts 20:17, and then addressed them as follows. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, or bishops, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Acts 20:28. Paul had a meeting with the elders and called them bishops, or overseers. Can you not see that these terms refer to the same office? In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, Paul lists the qualifications for elders and bishops. it should be clear to any careful student of the Bible that these qualifications refer to the same individual. An elder is a bishop, and a bishop is an elder. The various words which the New Testament uses give us an insight into the many different functions and responsibilities of elders. They are to be older men who oversee and shepherd the flock of God. Preachers are not pastors, unless, in addition to their work as evangelists, they are also elders of the church. Incidentally, I have known a number of friends who have served as elders and preachers, just as the Apostle Peter did. 1 Peter 5:1. The many biblical terms which I have read to you today demonstrate the duties of elders in providing for instructive discipline. That is, the kind of discipline which instructs, teaches, encourages, counsels, and warns. Nothing is specifically said in these passages which directly relates to the church's responsibility for withdrawing from ungodly members. But of course, the truth of the matter is that the elders have total responsibility for teaching, as well as taking whatever steps are necessary to keep the church pure. If that requires withdrawing, then the elders have to lead in that direction. It takes considerable courage on the part of elders to initiate withdrawal proceedings against a wayward member. But love demands that it be done, both for the benefit of the erring brother and for the welfare of the church. But what conditions in the church demand that the church withdraw from certain members? What is involved in the procedure? Why must the church do it? Is sexual immorality the only sin that is so serious that the church should withdraw? Who are the disorderly? Can the church mark a brother who is simply teaching false doctrine? How should we treat a brother or sister from whom the church has withdrawn? Can the church withdraw from those who have committed private sins? These and many other questions I shall be discussing, the Lord willing, in the next few weeks. If you can think of other questions you would like to have addressed, please let me know what they are. For the next 4 weeks, I plan to study with you the entire 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Our lesson next Lord's Day will be sexual immorality in the church. 2 weeks from today, I will be discussing delivering a brother to Satan. Please continue to listen and encourage others to listen also. We thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.